hear the word of the Lord. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines.
Good morning. Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there. Glad to have you here this morning. So we are, believe it or not, 1 week away from finishing up our series on the Holy Spirit. We started this series in January, and as you know, each week we're looking at a different role that the Spirit plays in our lives. And most of the time we've been looking at roles that he plays in our lives as individuals, but we're wrapping up this series by looking at roles that he plays in our lives as a community. And for 2 weeks, we're looking at the role that he plays within the body of Christ, in our relationships, in our community together. Last week, we looked at this role of creating unity among us. And today, we're going to look at, from this chapter, his role of creating diversity among us by giving us each unique and diverse spiritual gifts. So before I jump in, I want to just ask you a question to consider. Very basic question. Just forget what you've been reading just now. Why are you here? That's the question. Why are you here? What's your purpose in being here? What drives you to be a part of this community? And think about that for a second. I would suggest there's a lot of answers that are good answers. One might be you're here because your friends are here, or you're here to make friends. Another, you're here to grow in your understanding of the Scriptures. Some of you might say, honestly, I'm here because this is just what I do on Sundays. You go to church on Sundays, so I'm here. What I want to do is look at that question, why are you here, and try to look at it this morning from the Spirit's perspective. I'm going to try to put ourselves within the Spirit's shoes, if he wore shoes, and figure out, how would he answer that question? What is his purpose for you being a part of this body? And we're going to see, this is a famous passage, 1 Corinthians 12, this beautiful picture that that is painted in the second half of the chapter, actually, that we are this body, right? It's an analogy of the human body, that we are to be this one body, and there's different parts. There's fingers and toes and eyes and ears and all these different parts, but together we make up this one body, and the purpose of this body is that together we would grow up into maturity as one body. And so what the Spirit does is he gives gifts to different ones, different gifts to each of us so that we would use those gifts to build up the body, okay? The analogy I like to use is the analogy of an orchestra. The Spirit is creating this orchestra, and he's given us each different instruments to play. And the purpose is that together we would play this beautiful piece of music, Beethoven's Fifth, or you pick your favorite classical or non-classical piece that an orchestra can possibly play. And he wants us together to create this beautiful music. And so what he does is he gives each of us different instruments. Some he gives the violin, some he gives the cello, some he gives the triangle, you name it, whatever it is. But the purpose is that we would play our instruments so that together this orchestra would be playing this beautiful music. So let me suggest, and I'm kind of giving away the punchline of what I want to say today, why are you here? Well, not the only reason, but one of the reasons from the Spirit's perspective is you are here because he thinks you have something unique to offer this community. You're here because he wants to build up this community, and he's going to do it by giving gifts to this community, and he's going to give those gifts through you. And so the question is, yeah, pretty sweet, huh? So the question is going to be, how do I use these gifts in order to build up this community? So that's kind of gave away the sermon right there. But that's what I want to talk about this morning. We're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians 12. I want to do three things this morning. I'm going to try to cover probably more ground than I should. But first, I just want to make some general observations about spiritual gifts. Okay? Some general observations about spiritual gifts. And then I want to try to offer a helpful definition of what a spiritual gift is. That kind of sounds boring, definitions, but I think it'll actually be good. And then I want to dig in a little bit to this passage and look at what are one or two important ideas that Paul is trying to bring out. So I'm actually going to take the controller away from you guys. I forgot to get this beforehand.
$5.
$5? Gosh. Okay, so I want to show you some passages in Scripture. So look at your passage, verse 8. Okay, so we're starting off just some general comments about spiritual gifts by way of introduction. Let me step back here. Look at verse 8. Paul lists, I think, 9 different kinds of gifts. You heard John just read them. What I'm going to do is I want to just show you the different gifts that are mentioned in Scripture. I'm going to point you to some other Scriptures as well. So here's our passage here. Just want to list them off for you. Message of wisdom, message of knowledge, message of our faith, gifts of healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, gift of tongues, and then interpretation of tongues. Okay, that's a list. That's 1 Corinthians 12. At the end of this chapter, he gives us another similar list. And here's what he says. He gave some to be apostles, prophets, teachers, and the people who work miracles, gifts of healing, helping gifts, a gift of administration, and then again, he repeats the gift of tongues. Romans 12 is another place where we find some gifts mentioned from Paul again. Gift of prophecy, gift of service, gift of teaching, gift of encouragement, gift of generosity, gift of leadership, gift of mercy. Okay? And then one more, Peter just breaks them down into 2 general categories in 1 Peter 4. He says, whoever speaks, and that's sort of referring to gifts that have to do with our speaking, and then whoever serves, so deed gifts, okay? So this is going to feel like a class today a little bit, just warn you. But I just want you to see, these are most of the passages in Scripture that talk about specific spiritual gifts. And what I want to do is just make some observations to begin with about spiritual gifts. And the first is this. My assumption is that these lists are just representative, okay? What I mean is, this is not an exhaustive list of all the spiritual gifts. So I don't think we should try to figure out exactly how many spiritual gifts are there in Scripture. Are there 20 or 21 or whatever the number is? And how do we label them? How do we figure out which one of those we have? I think Paul is simply saying, these are the kinds of gifts that the Spirit gives. And I think that's clear because none of the lists are the same. Some repeat. There's differences. He's saying this is the kind of thing that the Spirit works in people for the sake of the body. So that's the first idea. These are just representative. They're not exhaustive. Second, I'm just pointing out observations that I made this week. You'll notice some of these are things that every single believer is called to do. Okay? I'm going back to the Romans 1. Like, let's look at service. We are all called to serve. We're all called to encourage. We're all called to be generous. Okay, so we can't say, you know, I don't feel like being generous. It's just not my spiritual gift, right? We like that. I don't want to evangelize. That's just not my spiritual gift, right? Okay, we can't get off the hook with some of these. Now, some of them are specific, but some are some things that we're all called to. And what that must mean, if someone has a spiritual gift in encouragement, it just means they have a particularly strong gifting in something that we all should be doing. They might have a particularly strong passion or a particularly strong effectiveness when they do it. So just another observation. A third observation, this is my final observation, is that you'll notice that some of these feel particularly extraordinary or miraculous, and some feel kind of normal, right? Like prophecy at the top of this list, That sounds pretty extraordinary. Certainly if we go back to our gifts of healing, miracles, gift of tongues, those feel pretty miraculous or extraordinary. Others of these seem pretty normal, like the gift of encouragement, okay? Or, the gift of mercy, the gift of leadership. They're things that someone might just be born with, like that's just a natural ability, versus these other ones that seem like that's a really miraculous thing, okay? Are you observing that? So the miraculous ones are often called the sign gifts or the extraordinary gifts, prophecy, healing, speaking in tongues, miracles, stuff like that. And if you don't know it, I just want to acknowledge, and this deserves a whole series, but there's great debate about the miraculous gifts today, right? And if you've been in the church for any time, you know about this debate. And the question is, are these kinds of miraculous gifts still available in the church today? And you got two fundamental positions that our community would probably divide somehow into these two positions. On the one hand, you have people who are called cessationists, and they are called that because they believe that these particularly miraculous gifts have ceased. Okay, they're no longer available in the church today. And the thinking, the logic is that God gave these miraculous gifts to the early church at the beginning when this message of Christ's resurrection was going out to confirm and affirm that message. And now that we have the New Testament scriptures, thousands of years later, that is our testimony, that is our witnesses. So God is no longer using these miraculous gifts that he was in the initial phase to confirm the message of the gospel. That's the reasoning behind it. The other group, we'll call them the continuationists, and you can figure out why they're called that, because they believe that these sign gifts are continuing today. And the thinking, the rationale is, we're still fundamentally in the same age as the early church. We're still in the church age between Christ's first coming and his second coming. The purpose of the spiritual gifts is to build up the body of Christ, and so we can assume that these gifts will continue in the church until Christ's second coming. And I'm guessing if we drew a line and put you on both sides of the line, we might have a fairly even distribution. I don't actually know in this community. I would, I'm kind of, jumping in where angels fear to tread, that sort of thing. But I would humbly suggest that wherever you land on that issue, the reason is more a reason based on experience than it is on Scripture. And what I mean is, there's no Bible passage that definitively solves this question. And so here's how it basically goes. If you think that you have personally experienced some of these sign gifts, or you have people who you trust who say they've personally experienced them, you're a continuationist, you believe they go on today. If you haven't personally experienced these things, or you've heard of stories of people who experienced them, and when you look closer, they look bogus to you, or they look like a distortion of the gospel, or they look like a distraction from the gospel, then you tend to believe these things are no longer in the church today. That's my humble suggestion. Myself, I'll just tell you, I myself am not a cessationist. So I personally believe that these gifts continue to be operative in the church when and where God chooses to bring them about. But that being said, I think a lot of what passes for these gifts today is probably not as legitimate as it first looks, and oftentimes these gifts are abused, and sometimes they lead to a distortion of the gospel or a distraction from the gospel, okay? That's not Grace Fellowship Church, that's just Dave Gunlock, and now that I've alienated both sides, I think I'll move on. I just want to acknowledge that, that's a whole series right there. Okay, so that's just some general observations about spiritual gifts. Second, I want to work towards a helpful definition. What is a spiritual gift? And again, that sounds kind of boring to do that, but I think it'll be helpful. I think you'll see why in a second. Okay, I want to mention three things that this is not a biblical definition. This is just what seems right to me. But three things lead me to this definition. First thing, look at your passage again. We'll be focusing on verse 4 through 11 today. First thing I want to mention is just the word itself that is used to describe spiritual gifts. It's in verse 4 when Paul says there are different kinds of gifts. Okay, that word gifts, the Greek word, is the word charisma, or charismata, it would be the plural. And we can think of a person who has charisma, or we think of charismatics. Okay, so charisma, but at the root of that word is the word charis, which is the word grace. in Greek. And I think that's helpful in understanding what these things are. The gifts that the Spirit gives us are expressions of God's grace in our lives. And what that means is these gifts are things that are freely given to us by the Spirit. We don't deserve them. We didn't do anything to earn them. They are given to us out of sheer grace. Okay, so that's the first point I want to make. Second one is to notice what's the purpose. And this is where I want to focus today. What's the purpose of a spiritual gift? I want to show you Romans 1. First time this word shows up in the New Testament, Paul says this to the Romans. He's writing a letter to them. He says this, I long to see you so that I may share some spiritual gift with you to strengthen you. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. Paul's saying, I want to come to Rome and I want to use my spiritual gifts. And the purpose of that is to strengthen you. That's the purpose of me using my gifts, is in order to strengthen your faith. And then he goes on to say, it's not a one-way street. You guys are going to strengthen me too. So he goes, that is to say that we'd be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. So the purpose of spiritual gifts is to strengthen one another's faith. It's to comfort each other. It's to encourage. It's to spur one another on. Sometimes it might even be to convict. But the idea is that when we use our spiritual gift, people's faith will be stronger, more established, more hopeful than it was before we used the gift. Okay, make sense? This is pretty basic, I know. So that's the purpose. And then the third thing to note is, what is the posture we're supposed to have when we use our spiritual gifts? I want to go back to that 1 Peter passage that I put up a second ago. Each one of you should use whatever gift he has received, again, for the purpose, to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. Okay, I think the idea being the posture is that we use our gifts with the strength God provides. We use it in dependence on God. We're not doing it in our own strength. We're doing it in God's strength. And that's the whole idea. It's a spiritual gift. It's a way that the Spirit is working through us. So we do it by faith and dependence on Him. Okay, are you guys with me still? Yeah? Okay. So with that, here's my definition of a spiritual gift. It's an ability freely given to us by the Spirit that we exercise in dependence on the Spirit for the purpose of strengthening one another's faith. Okay? It's an ability given by the Spirit freely that we exercise in dependence on Him, and it's for the purpose of strengthening one another's faith. Okay? Kind of bland, boring, but I think it's helpful in a couple ways. It's helpful for me. Here's one reason it's helpful. This is a helpful definition that distinguishes the difference between a spiritual gift and a natural ability. Okay, have you ever had that question? What's the difference between a spiritual gift and a natural ability? Okay, let me use myself for a second. I'm going to presume for a second that I have the spiritual gift of teaching, okay? Hopefully that's right. If not, I'm in the wrong place at the wrong time. On one hand, I have natural abilities that make this work. I mean, I'm wired. Certain God created me from the beginning. I love to study. I love to read. I love to think. I love to communicate. Those are just natural abilities. That's not a spiritual gift. It's a God-given natural ability. What distinguishes a spiritual gift from a natural ability? Well, in this case, I think it's, one, it's the posture that I use this in. Am I doing it in dependence on God as I study and as I teach? Or am I trying to do this in my own strength, relying on my own natural abilities? And then the other thing is, what is the purpose that I'm using it for? Am I doing this to build myself up, to draw attention, to shine a spotlight on myself? Or am I doing this to serve you all and try to strengthen your faith? That's the difference between a natural ability and a spiritual gift. So one person can have the natural ability to teach, but that doesn't mean he or she has the spiritual gift of teaching. Make sense? Okay. And then the more important thing I want to say is this. I think this definition helps us figure out how to discover our spiritual gifts. And I think that's a question a lot of us have. What are my spiritual gifts? How has the Spirit gifted me, and how do I use those things? And I think this is helpful. One way we can go about trying to discover our spiritual gifts is to look at the list of gifts and to try to figure out exactly which one I have. And you know, there's spiritual gift inventories. Many of you have taken them, and you label them. And you come up, here are my spiritual gifts, and I've got a name for them and all these things. And that's a very helpful exercise. But what I want to suggest is another way is just to consider the purpose of spiritual gifts, which is to strengthen one another's faith. And say, what I'm going to focus on in my life, I'm going to try to strengthen people's faith. I'm going to just try to encourage people in their faith. And then step back and ask people, how are you encouraged by me? How are you strengthened by me? And whatever they say, that's probably what your spiritual gifts are. Can I get this from John Piper? I want to read you a little excerpt from a sermon of his. Part of it's on your bulletin. Don't look at it, though. Let me just read it for you. This is a helpful perspective, I think. Piper says this. You shouldn't bend your mind too much around trying to label your spiritual gift before you use it. The way to think it is this. The reason we have spiritual gifts is so that we can strengthen other people's faith. So, here's someone whose faith is in jeopardy. How can I help him? Then do or say whatever seems most helpful, and if the person is helped, then you may have discovered one of your spiritual gifts. If you warned him of the folly of his way and he repented, then perhaps you have the gift of warning. If you took a walk with her and said you knew what she was going through and lifted her hope, then perhaps you have the gift of empathy. If you had them over to your home when they were new and lonely, then perhaps you have the gift of hospitality. And then here's the convicting part for me. He says, I really believe that the problem of not knowing our spiritual gifts is not a basic problem. More basic is the problem of not desiring very much to strengthen other people's faith. So the basic goal for us is to become the kind of person who wakes up in the morning, thanks God for our great salvation, then says, Lord, I want to strengthen people's faith today. Grant that at the end of this day, somebody will be more confident of your promises and more joyful in your grace because I crossed his or her path. Isn't that great? So you want to discover your gifts. One way is to look inward, to look at this and take this inward journey and say, what do I care about? What do I love? And that's appropriate. But the other way is to look outward and to just ask the question, what are the needs out there? And then just go about trying to encourage and meet those needs. And the beautiful thing is you will inevitably do that in a way that is unique to you. And you might not even think it's unique. You'll just think this is how you do this. But that might be very different than what someone else would do. I mean, if someone's hurting, I might say, you know, I just want to get together with them. I just want to listen and hear from them. And that's what comes natural to me. I think that's what you do. You might say, this person needs to hear the truth of Scripture. I want to write them a note and remind them of some Scriptures. And each of those show maybe what our different gifts are. And before I move on, I just want to, you know, it's Mother's Day. I want to acknowledge you mothers and thank you as mothers because I think this is what you do so well. For you, it's all about encouraging, strengthening, supporting, comforting your kids. It's about what needs to happen to help my kids grow in the faith or grow in whatever ways I'm hoping they'll grow. And I'm going to do it. That's what moms do so well. And when you see a need, you don't ask the question, is this within my gifting or not with your kids? You meet the need, right? You just go about serving your kids. But the beautiful thing is, as you do that, your gifts emerge. And you might not be thinking about them, but everybody, your kids or your kids' friends or other, you know, parents, you know, they could tell you what your gifts are. It might be hospitality. It might be you're a great listener. My mom had the spiritual gift of fun, which is one of the best spiritual gifts. Made our house a great place to be, among other gifts that she has. But the gifts emerge as you just are being moms. And so I think we should all be basically, if you want to come away with Think Like a Mom, maybe that should have been my title for this morning. Okay, so wanted to say that, and now we're going to get back to this passage. Let me, I think I'm done with that. All right, so 1 Corinthians 12. I want to just point out a couple things, and we'll end with a couple key things that I think Paul is on about in this passage. So, if you've lost me, just want to make some introductory thoughts, definition, and then what is the Spirit on about in the community. I'm going to repeat what I've already said in a different way. I want to focus in on verse 4 through 11. As I read this passage, I see kind of two very obvious themes emerge. the theme of diversity and the theme of unity. Okay, and you see these two kind of intersecting with one another. You see the theme of diversity by this use of the word different. Look at verse 4 through 6. They're different kinds of gifts, right? Verse 5, different kinds of service. Verse 6, different kinds of working. Verse 7, to each one of us, the idea is each individual is given different unique things. And then he goes on to list 9 different diverse kinds of gifts. So obviously diversity, the uniqueness of each of our gifts is a theme. And then the other theme, of course, is the theme of unity. And you see in this passage this word same, this word one that keeps popping up. So verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts, but there's the same Spirit. It's the same Spirit who gives us our different gifts. There are different kinds of service, but it's the same Lord. That's Jesus Christ. There are different kinds of working, but the same God. And then look at verse 8. To one there's given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. Verse 11, all these are the work of the one and the same Spirit. So Paul really trying to tell us there's diversity, but there's unity within that diversity. And of course, his great image for unity and diversity is the image of the human body. So let me just read it to you. Let's go on in verse 12 to look at what he goes on to say. This is very famous stuff. The body, he's making a comparison. The human body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. Right? Fingers, toes, eyes, nose, one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Okay, so this image of a body, we'll go back to verses 4 through 11 now. And if I had to sum up what Paul is saying in this, I think what he's saying is this. The Spirit gives each of us unique gifts, and the purpose of him giving us each our unique gifts is to build up the one body, right? That's pretty basic. You're wondering why I took so much time studying to say that, but that's it. He gives us unique gifts, and the purpose is to build up this one body so that we're growing up together into this one unified body. So just put yourself in the Spirit's shoes for a second, okay? Try to do this, okay? You've got the 100,000-foot view of the body of Christ. He's thinking this, I want to create this body of people that's going to be unified, and I want to build it up in faith. I want it to grow as a one unified body. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give gifts to the body, different kinds of gifts that are there to build it up, and I'm going to give the gifts through individuals. I'm going to give this individual this gift to build up the body, this individual this gift to build up the body. I give it through individuals, but it's really gifts that I'm giving to the body as a whole for its building up, okay? That's the picture that Paul is painting. And I think that leaves us with two really simple ideas, but that I think are very profound, and they're game changers in terms of how we approach our lives. So I'm going to close with these two ideas, if that picture that I just painted is true. First one is this. If that's true, then it means this for you. It means the gifts that the Spirit has given you are not for your sake. They're for our sake. Right? The gifts the Spirit has given you, they're for us. They're not for you. They're for us. Look at verse 7 one more time. Now to each one of us, the manifestation of the Spirit, the particular gift the Spirit gives, is given for what? For the common good. The reason that you are gifted in teaching is so that we would be taught. The reason that you're gifted in mercy is so that we would experience a little bit of God's mercy. The reason you're gifted in ministration is that we would be organized. The reason you're gifted in whatever you are is so that we all would grow up and be strengthened and encouraged and challenged in the faith. And that's not to say that when you use your gifts, you don't enjoy it. We find great joy in using your gifts, but the purpose of the gifts is for the body. Now, I think that is a game changer. In this sense, I think many of us have a very strange relationship with our own giftedness, particularly those of us that feel maybe particularly gifted or gifted in obvious ways, that we have this strange relationship with our own giftedness. And I think inwardly, the temptation is in our giftedness is always towards pride, right? It's to to see this thing that we're good at and to take pride in and to form our identity around it, which is a very natural thing to do. You're good at things, so you pursue them, and they start to define you, and that's what makes you feel good about yourself. It makes you feel legitimate and legit and within a group. And it's the thing you do to get recognition, to be acknowledged by one another. And so there's this wrestling that we have internally with our own gifts, and the way we react to that is to be outwardly very dismissive of our gifts. Gosh, you're so good at teaching. No, I'm not very good, right? You are a great leader. I'm not that good. We sense the pride and the identity, and so outwardly what we try to do is dismiss it. And I think the Spirit would kind of remove both of those things, and he'd say, hey, it is not about you. Your gift is not about you. I didn't give you this gift for you. This is for the community. You're just a middleman, if I can put it that way. I want to give gifts to this community, and you're just a middleman or a middlewoman. You're a manager. You're a steward of something, and you're supposed to steward it so that the body builds itself up. You're not the owner. It didn't come from you, and it doesn't exist for you. So get over it and just start using your gifts. I think that brings a freedom to our spiritual gifts because it frees us to use our gifts as much as we can without getting our identity attached to them. So that's the first thing. The gifts that you've been given are not for your sake, they're for ours. And then the second one, and this is a very important one that's sort of a complement to that. If what we said is true, then the gifts that you've been given are exactly the ones the Spirit wants you to have. Okay? Look at verse 11. All of these gifts are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and I love this, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. Paul's saying he's determined exactly what gifts he wants to give you, and he's even determined the amount of the gifts he wants to give you. He's purposeful. He has a plan. He's not just throwing out gifts willy-nilly, okay? He has a specific purpose because he's got the big picture in mind. He's got the 100,000-foot view looking at this community. He sees how the whole thing is working together. He sees, to use the orchestra, He sees how many violins he needs, how many triangles he needs, how many cellos he needs. He sees that. He sees the body, how many fingers, toes, whatever analogy you want to use. He sees what the whole needs, and so he's given you exactly the gifts he wants to build up the whole. Look at verse 18. Just another way of saying the same thing. But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just the way he wanted them to be. He knew exactly what he was doing when he gave you the specific gifts that he gave you. And I think that addresses the other issue that we fight with in our relationship with our own giftedness. Not the pride issue, but now the issue of insecurity. The feeling of that many of us have, that I don't know what my gifts are, or I don't feel particularly gifted. I see other people that are way more gifted than I am. And I just don't feel like I have that much to offer in the community. Honestly, I look at this list, I don't see myself in any of those things. I don't really know what it is. And I don't feel like I've got that much to offer. And I just want to encourage you with this. The Spirit has given you exactly the gifts he wanted to give you. He's made no mistake in gifting you the way he has. And that's really important in our relationships because I think sometimes we look at our gifts and they feel inadequate. We look at other people who have cooler gifts than us, right? And we go, I want that gift. That's cool. And that leads to, you know, this sort of jealousy or resentment or just this feeling of insecurity. And for me, it's not like when someone has a cooler gift, like okay, I can teach and you're an administrator. That's not really my thing, so I'm fine with that. For me, it's hard when they have the same gifts, they're just better at it. That's the one. Like, you have my gifts, but you just have more of it. That's the one that creates insecurity and maybe jealousy or resentment. So it's so important to remember the Spirit knew what he was doing when he gifted you the way he did. So we don't want to run around in the Christian community being jealous or trying to take on other people's gifts. We want to be the fullest expression of who God has designed us to be. I had a friend one time say to me, I loved this. He said, Dave, when you get to heaven, God is not going to ask you, why weren't you more like your friend so-and-so? You know, he's not going to ask you that. If anything, he's going to ask, why weren't you more the Dave that I created you to be? So again, there's a freedom. And this, I am gifted exactly the way God wants me to be gifted for the sake of this larger body. Let me close. I want to just read the rest of this passage to you. Verse 14 on. I love this passage. It's familiar stuff. You'll notice how Paul addresses the two kinds of people I've just been talking about. Those who are tempted to take pride in their gifts and those who feel insecure in their gifts. Okay, so let me just read verse 14 on. It's great stuff. Now the body is made up of is not made up of one part but of many. Now he's going to talk about those people who feel insecure in their giftedness. If the foot should say, oh, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they're all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. And then he goes on to the person who might take pride in their giftedness and have a sense of independence. If the eye, or the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it. So that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Very cool. So let me just say this. We need you in this community to be exercising your gifts. And as a leadership, we want to do a better job of giving you opportunities to do that. And we want to encourage you to just go for opportunities that you see. And that can happen in formal structures in our church and programs that we have. Or even better, it can just happen naturally as you interact with one another and look to meet people's needs. But we need you to be using your giftedness within this community. So, two questions I'm leaving you with. Big picture question to answer the question for yourself. Why am I here? Think through that this week. Why, God, why have you brought me here? What gifts do you want to give Grace Fellowship Church through me? Okay, that's the big picture question. What gifts do you want to give Grace Fellowship Church through me? And the practical question is this. How can I strengthen someone's faith this week? God, show me where I can come alongside someone in whatever way feels normal to me and encourage them, challenge them, convict them, comfort them, whatever, strengthen their faith. And I want to give you 30 seconds right now, and then I'll close in prayer, to just think about who are the people in your life right now that you think need strengthening in their faith. It could be someone who's going through a really hard time. It could be someone who's falling away from the faith. It could be someone you think is probably just being maybe ignored or neglected, or someone that you've been going through a hard time with. Okay, I want you to just take about 30 seconds and identify who are some people that I could come alongside in whatever way works for me to strengthen their faith. Take a moment and identify some faces, and then I'll close this in prayer. Lord, thank you for the gift of this body of believers, these friendships that are in this room. Thank you for the gift of your Spirit, how he moves and works among us. I pray that you would just unleash your Spirit within us, that we would have these hearts to love and serve one another. And as we do that, that gifts would emerge that would build us up, encourage us all, and grow us closer together, and more importantly, closer to you. I pray especially for those who are in need of encouragement today, that you would encourage them and that you would use us to do it. And pray for all the moms and daughters present in this room this morning. Pray that they would be encouraged today. They'd be strengthened, that they would be affirmed, and we are grateful for them. And pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. As always, there are people who have the spiritual gift of prayer who would love to pray with you. right now during worship or after the service. So right beyond those blue doors to the right, I want to invite you to receive prayer if that's something you need.